to help everyone out. I had a call a week or so ago from Mr. Kelly, and he is out of town with his granddaughter's health condition and seeing after her, and so he wanted me to conduct the meeting, and I agreed that I would, and so here we go. We'll start with the October 28th meeting minutes and stand for additions and corrections, and I would ask Bill, did you get your correction made, Bill, from your email? Is it?
I haven't seen the new minutes.
Okay, there, what you had wanted was in 2C. And is that still reading?
Do I have new minutes?
Pardon?
Did I miss the new minutes?
No, I don't know that there is new minutes. I think the minutes we have are the, I'll just call them the original minutes, and they were probably made before you sent your email, and so we need to, it looks like to me we need to get them corrected as per your request.
I don't know if it's been corrected or not.
Pardon?
I do not know if it's been corrected or not. I do not know if it's been corrected.
Okay. Well, what my thought would be is to, we will concur in the minutes, Bill, with the correction that you suggested in your email.
Okay.
That way we'll get it taken care of, and we'll pass this back to get that corrected. Are there other considerations for the minutes? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve the October 28, 2015 minutes as corrected. I have a motion. Make
so
a motion.
Moved, is that the right?
Yes, make a motion.
So moved.
So moved. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a second. Any further discussion? There not being all in favor of the motion with aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. And we'll head down the agenda. I think our basic endeavor tonight is to surround and get our best handle to date on the recommendations that we want to go forward on the stormwater utility. The agenda, Part 2A, has to do with debt issuance and debt service revenue. In addition to the agenda, I think the task force has received a communication from Greg in regard to recommendations, as well as Bill, and the question could be, does any of those recommendations deal with debt issuance and debt service revenue? My review shows that it doesn't. I would ask the task force, starting out here, do we want to the agenda indicates debt service issue and debt service revenue, citizens advisory board structure, billing policies, and other recommendations. And it seemed that our time would be better spent if we would undertake the communications that we've had from Greg and Bill to, in a sense, finalize them and then entertain any other corrections, or not corrections, any other recommendations. And then also, Cody has been kind enough to present the first draft of the written narrative introductory to the stormwater section. And it would appear to me that Given that, we would add these recommendations to that, and that would comprise what we would have in the report as the stormwater utility recommendations. So let's do this. Cody, would you mind taking just a minute and overview what you've done and how we would plan to proceed from there?
Sure. I think we'll probably be able to speak about it a little better, at least the rest of the members will be, after you have a chance to read through it maybe. But, and I wasn't exactly sure. I'm real confident on the tone and the format preceding the recommendations, but I gave it a shot. And I just kind of went over some of the stuff that I thought was pertinent as far as the presentations, the other correspondence through emails that we had with the city, is, and the discussions we had in the meeting. I looked at some of the recommendations that we had made, some of Bill's, some of Greg's, and tried to line out what exactly was the status or the conditions, the current conditions that precipitated those recommendations. So that being said, we can read through these and try to make sure they make sense with our recommendations. If we have to add anything, I'm fine with that. But other than that, it's pretty self-explanatory. I kind of tried to write it as you know, a background to the evaluation of the current conditions, and from there we had our recommendations. So, like you said, a background to the report.
And as I think also, did you use Aaron's presentation as a?
Yeah, most of these. Yeah, most of these are facts or observations are based on her report. Yes.
All right. Other considerations for the introduction? Okay, and I think the, let's see if we, let's check out with each other as to the notion here we have. And so, as best we can this evening to get some closure to the stormwater portion, we would have, again, this is as the introduction, and then incorporate the recommendations, and that would be considered an initial draft. And then it would still be open to further change if, as we continue on with our task, that something would strike someone that revisit that, we would, and so we would only call it an initial draft and work with it on that basis. All right, so given the introduction part there, we'll continue to study that and see if there's other considerations that need to be incorporated. Next, let's go to the recommendations. Let's see. We had a notion once that we would list the recommendations or consolidate them, have a consolidated list of the recommendations and have them numbered, and then the task force would prioritize them as they would see the recommendations, and then we would review what everyone had as the number one priority, and then I guess it's kind of a weighted value, and then that would, they would fall in line that way. So I would ask, is that still a consideration?
I agree.
So
are we going to want to separate the I know Greg's recommendations more had to do with operations. Bill's had more to do with.
Are we going to separate those two out or just rank them both together? Or?
I don't necessarily have an opinion. I was just thought I would ask.
We could prioritize based on category.
I mean, really, I really like Greg's recommendations for operation. I don't know that we necessarily had what we're.
Did we have other ones for operation other than these two? Do you remember?
There's a few minor ones, but I think those are the primary ones we discussed being the most important ones.
Have the consolidated Excel file that was sent before our previous meeting. Outlined 35 recommendations that came from previous documents, if that makes sense.
It does.
So is the question, do these more recent ones revise those?
I think at least Greg's kind of consolidated some of his. There were multiple ones on that list.
Yeah, that was my intent. We had multiple small ones and tried to bring them all into two succinct, you know, summary recommendations versus multiples.
Okay.
I did have a minor thing to talk about yours, Greg. As far as the first one, number periodic or explore the use of LIDAR during periodic coordinated flyover mapping projects. I'm pretty sure I know the county just did one this year, and I'm pretty sure the city's involved with that and has that. I mean,
any question for the city? The city.
Yeah,
LIDAR yet, or are they exploring? You doing LIDAR already?
And I think it's a combined effort with the county and the city, and they just did that this year, so I'm pretty sure that's something they're already doing. Not to say we shouldn't say continue.
Yeah, that could be changed. Easy.
So what you're saying, Cody, in summary, where it says to help, would change that to continue?
Yeah.
Utility should continue.
Coordinated. Valuable tool.
What was that last one there? Word change for explore. What word is that?
Continue.
Okay, so what we would want to do here is to move the wording of this document to the introduction document.
Combine them? Is that what you're saying?
Well, this is the introduction, and then I think if we all agree on what Greg has said in his document, then this document gets rolled into this document.
Yeah, okay. I think that was I thought earlier is to have a summary and then the cumulative recommendations for the entire group all put together as a draft.
Okay.
We can review as we move on and eventually finalize.
And so are there any additions or changes to what he's proposed?
I just had a question. Greg, is this in order of priority, or was this just?
No.
Okay.
There might be some things that came to thought by being the area on the prioritization. You know, I'd probably put some of the ones that are probably more important to address first, but there's no specific order to those.
Yeah.
I think that my expectation for the city would be to take those categories and add additional that they would feel appropriate, then try to weight those, rank them, and then use a standard evaluation criteria to evaluate each and every project.
All right.
Yeah, personally, I think that's a pretty thorough and comprehensive recommendations you have. I'm interested, and I think there's probably more debate and differing opinions on the financing portion. All agree on at least those two recommendations should be included.
Any further discussion? Not being, then we will hand that off to you, Cody. Add it to your document.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can put it in the same document.
So it will be part of the same document? Are we showing it as an exhibit, or how does that work until it's all compiled into one large?
Oh, I'd just say, I think on the top of it, you just say draft.
We can work on the formatting once we get
I get the formatting. We just get the elements going here.
Are we going to deal with all the other recommendations that are out there? I think we had quite a few financial recommendations, mostly related to, bonding, et cetera. That would be added to this list as well.
Yes, and I have 2 or 3 here this evening. I'll present and we'll discuss and that's what that's about. Right. Okay. All right. Given that, then we'll move to Bill's document. First recommendation has to do with the advisory board concept. I think that for myself it ought to be a consideration, but I think that we've had some discussion of this that we might ask ourselves, would it be more appropriate to hold this to the end where we've been through the sewer see if anything else comes to light through that process that might be reflective of a advisory board.
I would agree to keep it as a draft recommendation until we get through the other utilities.
Yeah, we could revisit it at that time and
reassess. That's more of a global thing that impacts all the utilities and most all of the utilities.
I think if we have an opinion now, it's worth keeping in there and, having something in there about it.
And I think on that one, too, we probably ought to put at least a sentence in there that to acknowledge that to do what you're saying there, it'd take a amendment to the charter.
That's fine.
Although I would, on that specific one at this time, I think I would probably be leaning more towards supporting a separate storm and sewer board as opposed to reconfiguring the water and light board. Personally, I think, I don't know. I just haven't seen the value yet in amending the charter and voting and doing that for something that feels like it works to me. And I think Chad talked about it or somebody, Dave, maybe, I don't know. About what kind of implications that would have on staff time if there was an additional board for storm and sanitary, and it seemed like they weren't opposed and they were willing to have more direction, and if people are willing to serve on it, I think it's lines to contribute to improving our. I put that very elegantly, but yeah, I would probably lean towards supporting a.
I agree. And then if later down the road, sanitary and stormwater, if they create an advisory board and they decide, how come we're not doing water? And they decide between the two boards, that might be something better served by then, and then they could be something that the citizens vote on. Or.
Okay, so any further discussion? I think one consideration we could do here is create this as a placeholder.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have any specific language. I should have, I guess, of a specific recommendation in place of this, but I definitely think we need to address it and by no means finalize our opinion at this time, like you said. Probably revisit it as we go through the process.
All right, Bill, would you be kind enough to take us off there on recommendation number two?
Stormwater charge for residential property should be based on total impervious area to property. Just a matter of equity. Explanation's in the paragraph below that.
So we'd see this as a substantial deviation from what's being done now.
Now it's based on the square footage of the main floor area for each dwelling unit.
Yeah.
Which you've got multiple units. You've got no bearing at all on stormwater.
I think there's a relationship, but maybe it's not exactly direct, but I understand what you're saying. In a perfect world, there would definitely be, obviously more equitable solution to just base it on straight total impervious area. I don't know if I've completely been convinced that or have been made aware of what the implications would be to go to a system like that, what kind of additional staff time and effort and cost to determine the impervious area for every residential piece of property in the city of Columbia. It seems like an undertaking to me.
I think if you're ever going to increase rates, you're going to have to do this.
Well, I don't know anything about LIDAR, but I saw the word flyover. What are we flying over for if we're not looking at stuff like that? What's the LIDAR system giving us that the city's using? Is that a dumb question?
It gives you more detailed topographic information and building heights, et cetera. It doesn't really measure. You could use it to help measure square foot, but I mean, it still requires somebody to go and measure all those square foot for buildings. It takes a lot of staff time. I'm kind of like Cody, I don't know if we're going to gain a whole lot. I think if we're going to do something, maybe we recommend that we implement a progression towards that by, you know, adding all commercial property and large, apartment complexes, and then work into the smaller residential over time.
Commercial's already that way.
I don't know if all commercial property is that way, is it?
I believe so.
All by square foot? Is it?
What?
But that's fine. It could be implemented over a number of years, but that still ought to be the goal, total impervious area.
Yeah, well, I think so, too. And we talked about the building permitting process and some of the data that's already there that's just not being used could maybe be incorporated in the future, the system that's coming.
I like that. A progression to this maybe as we get more. As our technology advances and it becomes easier to accumulate this information,
I mean, if somebody in the government is city county government's getting the data, use it the best you can for whoever can use it.
Certainly can't implement it until you get the data.
Right.
But once you've got the data, no reason not to implement it.
I think we got the data now. It's actually converting the data to usable.
That's what I
mean. Usable data that you can convert to, cost per this much square foot.
With the city's new sophisticated building program, it ought to be something that can be done without too much problem.
I think it's an issue of having, the planometrics of the
topo or aerial or LIDAR data, having close polygons to be able to figure what the area is of this house and this driveway. It doesn't like automatically produce that just because you have line work there.
My question would be directed to Mr. Johnson or Mr. Glasscock. Does it have any merit if we make this a consideration of the next cost of service study, where we get, I'll say, more experts that might have seen impervious billing systems or criteria to?
I think we did look at it in a Sage Tomb Hill report, but we were just going to have to go through and all the GIS and go out and actually look at some of this stuff, because if you look at an aerial, sometimes you can't tell a wood deck. Looks like a concrete patio, you know, so that wouldn't be considered impervious in that realm. And so we would have to go out and physically look at some of this stuff that we really couldn't tell what was there because of shadows and other things when you fly it. But it would be good to have the information. We don't have accurate information right now. We got the flights, we got the pictures, but we don't have the impervious data. But we looked at that as doing that way, I think, in 2010 when we did the Sage Tomb Hill report, when we were going that direction.
I do kind of like the idea of progressing, and especially if you're going to do a new subdivision, you could put the requirements that be analyzed to determine a new subdivision, so you have that data. And over time, you try to gather the data in the other areas as time and resources permit. Eventually, you get to a per square foot assessment, but there may be have to have a split system.
One of the things that we have is they don't always build it quite like they give you. We give them a permit for, and so you're going to have to check all that stuff after the fact, and they add patios afterwards, and different kinds of stuff that they don't want the government to see or do or pay for. So we'd have to do that after the CO was issued. Does that answer your question?
Oh, I think it does. It just seems like there's so many. As we discuss it, we keep coming up with this and that. And
I think it's a good thing to have. I think we ought to work toward that, to have imperviousness throughout the city. What is it? Even a commercial bill, it changes too over time, but we don't track it after basically the permit or the CO has been issued. That nobody goes back and checks it.
So, what's our desire here? Can we structure the recommendation to such a fashion that it be a, a future consideration?
It can be changed pretty easily if you just change the first line and says the city should work towards.
Mm-hmm.
This type of system for residential. Just rephrase the first sentence, but keep the rest of the supporting information the same. We're not going to really set the timetable because technology and staff resources may set that.
You could also add, encourage the city to this at the next cost of service study. Somebody.
Bill, what are your thoughts? Is that workable?
You could take out the apartment complexes out of residential and put them in a non-residential.
Yeah, I like that. I think that should be the first step.
Because a 100-unit apartment complex on 7 floors would have less stormwater runoff than 100 units on 1 floor.
sense.
Anything larger?
What's your thought on how that should be assessed? That should be assessed based on if you've got an eightplex, the surface is divided by eight and everybody pays an equal share, or it goes to the landlord or the owner of the building?
Owner of the building.
Next.
Should be anything larger than a duplex. A single-family duplex remain the same until the data is formulated. Go ahead and pursue the fourplex and larger.
I think just that little bit, which I agree with, we should do. It still would require, that wouldn't require above approval. Am I right, John? Or change the tier three and tier four? Or I think I'm right on that.
On the rate, yeah.
To the commercial assessment. I would prefer to avoid, but.
Well, that could be. Dealt with at the next opportunity. Let's see here. Let's make sure who's getting this down.
Look at Cody Stein over there. He's avoiding eye contact. Well, are you going to tweak any of these? And are we saying that? Are we coming up with another one for the fourplex and above, or is that already on? We're adding that separate from the residential.
Well, maybe just the next line down, to say the first step should be, or the action should first be focused on.
I agree with the fourplex it up, and I think probably what we could state is that at the next available opportunity the city has to go to the voters on a related issue, they could bring this up and get approval for it, but they could work towards at least get the infrastructure in place to prepare the building for that, but still charge the current rate. But when they go back with another issue, that would be the time to bring it forward and get it approved to change the rate.
You'd have to have all that information and data in place.
Correct.
Yeah. I wonder, too, if on the number two, that last sentence where it talks about aerial photography would be used to measure the impervious area. John mentioned at the permitting process or the inspections after the property's done, the data that they gather they could use. I wonder, too, if when properties change hands, if that some of that can be assessed then, or I guess I just wouldn't want to limit the
building permits.
Maybe just strike that, or I don't know, but I don't know that we need to say how they'll get that information, since there's a number of ways you could.
Okay, so in summary, Bill, do you see what we need to do? Okay, and that way we'll leave that is the, if you will edit that and then send it to Cody, and of course, okay. On to number three, that has to do with the billing to the owner. Rather than the
utility account holder. I think the way they're doing it now is to the utility account holder, which has a number of problems with it.
Mm-hmm. We're worried mostly about it. Seemed like when we were talking to legal and Nancy, she was concerned that if we made a blanket statement that it goes to the owner, we go back to voters, which may not be, which may be what we want to do. But she also mentioned something about workaround, like having a deposit or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Version thing would be nice if everybody, if it was mandatory to sign up for the landlord version thing. Unfortunately, it's not mandatory. Cracks. And then there's also, I guess, the issue with when there is no utility account holder, it doesn't get billed to the owner. I understand where, I guess, we were, there was revenue there, but. I guess I was just saying I like the idea of there being some kind of workaround as opposed to changing.
Well, if you're building an apartment complex as an owner, I think to be consistent, you should bill all property to the owner. If you go to fourplex or larger, you're going to be billing it to the owner. You can't separate that. You shouldn't separate each individual tenant.
We add.
Look at a fairness issue, or is this to try to
increase
revenue that we may be losing?
Both.
Could we just change the language a little bit that it could be considered, because this has to be voted on? Is that right? Consider, or we'd like to see whatever, and then add another one that says something about the deposit. I had forgotten that Nancy said that could be a good workaround. New utility customers.
Long, long time ago, when I moved here 29 years ago, I put a deposit down.
I did too. They don't.
I don't
do
know if I ever
anymore.
Got it back.
Yeah. Have you left?
You're not going to.
I think we used to have deposits when I came in. It's not common for utility companies to collect a deposit.
We still did. We don't. The city doesn't collect any deposit, even electric or anything.
On commercial, don't they?
On residential? Okay. But not on. But it's not used for the stormwater portion, or it's exhausted before it ever gets to that. Okay.
I guess my question is, if we're just switching who's paying for it, how is that raising revenue, regardless of if the owner or the tenant's paying for it? I'm confused.
I don't see how it raises revenue unless you've got an occupancy rate issue. But if we take, and that's a multiplex apartment building, that if you're only like 75% occupied, you're not getting all the revenue. But if you now move that to a building owner, apartment owning builder, to the commercial rate, they're going to collect the impervious surface, so it doesn't make a difference. It really comes down to your residential. Is the residential issue, are we losing revenue on single family residents? That's the question. I wouldn't think we would be.
And more importantly, if you did split it up to the owner or the building owner, how much more in administrative costs and stamps and extra paper and pushing all that paper? I think you're spending more money on stamps and paper than you would be raising.
Didn't we talk about how there were 6,100 properties that were not being billed, though?
Once it's set up, it would be an initial administrative expense.
Residential or commercial?
And is the 61 due to vacancies, or I don't remember that?
As in a cost of service study report.
Vacant property, vacant commercial, or vacant residential?
They were just delinquents. They're most likely vacant delinquents, but delinquent payment.
Present time, the city's not following the ordinance. They're not billing the owner when the property's vacant.
Unless the landlord takes over the utilities when that property becomes
vacant.
The
landlord becomes the utility account holder.
Right, and I think we got into that. How often does a property go with no utility service at all? Because then no one would be paying anything at that point in time.
I'm interested in knowing, I mean, maybe I'm a Class A landlord, which I don't necessarily see, but who completely shuts all their utilities off? I mean, if it's the middle of the winter, I don't want to deal with busted pipes and God knows whatever else. You'd be a fool to do that, and I'd be interested to know the percentage of landlords that do that. I see it very minimal.
Winterize your pipes.
You've got a three-story apartment building. You don't have to have utilities on the second and third floor. The heat from the first floor is going to heat to keep the pipes from freezing.
A lot of vacant when I worked at State Farm, we had a program in place to monitor for vacancies, and it was a lot.
If I had seven vacant apartments, I keep the utilities, and they're all identical. I keep the utilities on all seven of them.
You don't have to pay to have them turned back on?
And it would. Once it's cleaned up, I turn utilities off. Yeah. Might be vacant for 2 or 3 months. You multiply that times the number of units you got vacant.
I try to keep my stuff rented.
Well, I did too, but.
Well, I still have the question. 6,100 properties that are not being billed.
Not being billed or not paying their bills?
I wrote down not being billed because the bills don't go to the property owner. A couple of meetings ago.
So let's summarize as to where we are with this one.
As we go along in the next discussion on utilities, there's other utility charges that ought to be charged to the property owner, like the sewer base charge, water minimum charge. Even more like an availability charge. They would pay when the apartment's vacant, whether the utilities are on or off.
We can either on non-owner occupied properties just always bill the property owner, require a deposit. There was another one. Oh, the reversion? Is that what it was called? Require reversion?
Landlord reversion.
I happen to believe that I think that's an excellent idea to make that mandatory. I mean, we do it anyways, so I don't really have a skin in this game from a personal opinion, but because we do it anyways. But for the people trying to turn half their units off to save whatever a month, then yeah, maybe they.
I don't think you can force them to turn the utilities on.
The reversion, you can.
I just don't think it'll pass. If you got a house and you want to winterize it, you'll be able to winterize it, turn utilities off.
What is the reversion? That makes sense.
You'd still be paying a metering fee, your base fee, and your stormwater fee because you're not turning the storm well off. The rain, as we know it's today, I couldn't control it, so somebody has to pay that fee even if the utilities are turned off. So even if you turn the utilities off, you turn the thermostat down to zero, you shut the breakers off, you're still going to pay a flat fee for metering connection and your stormwater fee.
And you would pay that for as long as you own the property?
Correct. You'd be paying very minimum fee, but you'd be cutting back the usage. I mean, there's costs installed to maintain all those meters in place and keep them calibrated and read.
Rather than switching that back and forth from the tenant to the landlord, to the tenant back to the landlord, I just bill the landlord, the owner, property owner.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that Kim made a nice summary there. I would ask her to modify number 3 and coordinate with Mr. Weidkempker to get that to Cody.
Do we have a strong opinion, like on the either way? I mean, I know Bill's got a strong opinion that there needs to be owner. I mean, and I guess I just haven't been convinced that there's a substantial inequity or loss in revenue. I know there are 6,100 are delinquent, but I thought that they also said that it was like a minute percentage of the total revenue also. So I guess I just haven't got a strong opinion either way. So I guess that means I could be convinced either way also. But do we have a consensus on which way we're kind of leaning with this recommendation?
You ought to either follow the ordinance or change the ordinance. If the ordinance says you bill the landlord or the owner when the property is vacant. You got to do that, or just say, when the property is vacant, we're not going to build anybody. Then what kind of justification you got for that? Like, say it rains, whether it's occupied or not.
Yeah, I don't like the thought of us not billing just because the utilities are off. Yeah.
I haven't been for 23 years.
Well,
seems like our ordinance does say we should be doing that.
I think what I see here is we brought this to light, we make the recommendation, and then let it follow further debate and or legislation by the council.
Good point, because I mean, we are providing recommendation, not mandates.
Right.
And so it's up to council. And
we won't be the first advisory commission. We don't follow their recommendations.
Right. Take them one at a time now. Okay. Are we clear on three?
I believe it pretty much as is.
Pardon?
Is there any modification needed on three?
I'm going to modify
it. Kim's going to revise it.
Then she's going to consult with you.
All right.
Thank you. All right. In certain situations, the monthly stormwater charge should be billed on a quarterly, biannual, or annual basis. Quite a bit of discussion on that. It seemed that that might be appropriate to move that way. See, and I think my only question is that how does it affect cash flow in terms of revenues coming in to meet expenses? Is that
weren't we going with just commercial properties on that? A quarterly?
Yeah, I'm confused. Does that go hand in hand with three, which we just talked about, if depending on what happens
or not
with residential?
That was my recollection of the discussion, that if we went to a owner-based pay system, the owner was not going to want to get a bill every month and have to write a check and mail it. They would rather, you know, have a quarterly or semi-annual or even annual payment. You know, instead of writing 12 $1.56 checks, you can write one
$3 checks instead of 112. Right.
One little larger one at the end of the year.
And does the new billing system, am I remembering right, going to consider owners, that folks that own more than one property and have the capacity, the ability to bill, send one bill?
We're all pro.
So an owner would have the option to go to a annual payment for that any of the utilities versus a monthly?
Would there be any problem with paying the stormwater charge in advance, or would you have to pay it after the fact? I'd rather pay it by the year. Own the property, you can put it in your
closing costs.
So it seems to me we would be reasonable to move ahead with this recommendation.
I agree.
And number five has to deal with the existing stormwater discount that's provided to MU. And that one, it should be discontinued, or the stormwater discount criteria be available to other customers. Let's see, I think what we found was that this is in the ordinances, been legislated, approved. So do we, are we asking the council to reconsider their position?
No, I'm not arguing about, I'm not discussing the appropriateness of the discount, just that the criteria for the discount ought to be public knowledge. It is not.
Available I think to others.
Are you pardon?
And available to others.
And available to others.
I mean, it is established in the ordinance, if you go back and look at it, but no one has taken advantage and there's no established criteria. So I think the discussion was not that we take away the University of Missouri's discount that they executed with the city, but make sure that the criteria for others going forward is established versus it's not clear right now how it's accomplished, but to recommend that they establish criteria.
Well, one or the other, to your point, that the criteria needs to be established.
Correct.
All right.
Are we amending that one then to say just that?
No, because it actually says.
I think Bill's had an or. I'm not looking at it. But I think our recommendation should be one or the other, and it probably should just be if we all agree that there is criteria.
You may find when developing the criteria that then you question the discount, but first thing you should do is develop the criteria. See if the criteria is justified. Or see if the discount is justified by the criteria. If it is, you haven't got an issue.
You're stating that the city established a criteria, then weigh that against the university's current agreement that they have with them, determine if it meets that criteria? Is that what you're stating?
Well, once you establish the criteria, it may clear up the whole issue. Once you start looking at what justifies the discount. How many feet of storm surge?
But I think the city would have to weigh in on this, but I think from the university's perspective is that if the discount was taken away, there are services we do not receive from the city, that we should expect equal services to like all other entities in the city. And so
this.
I think that's the concern is that if that was waived and taken away, there may be an added cost to the city that would outweigh the discount that they're receiving right now.
There could be.
So I think that could be evaluated, but I think this primarily in my mind, it's criteria to make sure if any other entity wanted to participate in finding a way to discount by reduction of stormwater or mitigation and control of stormwater, they could find a way to reduce their rate.
What if right now you take care of your own stormwater and you get a 60% discount. There's nothing that indicates why. Why is this worth this? There ought to be some kind of criteria established.
I agree. But I don't know what the University of Missouri's discount has to do with establishing that criteria.
Well, the criteria ought to dictate how much of a discount any customer would get for maintaining their own stormwater system based on the area, impervious area.
Yeah, I think there's two things. One is maintaining their own stormwater system, which I think that's in the case the University of Missouri has. The second piece would be a private landowner that would want to install controls such that it would not add any water flow to the watersheds. So as a homeowner, maybe a would actually implement a rain collection system to capture all their water from their roof and reduce their loading, should they be able to get a discount. I think they're not running their own stormwater system. The university is, which is a little bit different than that. But you could have a large entity run their own stormwater system and seek a discount as well.
In my mind, a discount would be available to non-residential customers, and a credit would be available to residential customers. So far, we don't have any credits or discounts, except for University of Missouri.
Revenue is so small in stormwater. I'd be afraid that we'd, once the city had to go out and start verifying discounts or credits that we do residential.
Until you get higher rate.
It would cost more than.
In relative to a residential situation, it's not significant. It's about $55,000. So if, you know, the city wouldn't, if the services that they'd have to pick up to maintain and basically do the capital replacement for this university system is not going to be captured in the amount of discount that we're getting. So I think that it's a financial question more than, but I do think there should be some fairness if a private entity, either a commercial property or a residential property, has an opportunity to reduce the loading to the stormwater. There should be some mechanism, you know, to incentivize that.
Well, and I'm thinking there's got to be something on why they're getting a 60% discount. It wasn't just arbitrary, right?
Can I speak?
Sure.
It was done through council, and any discount should be done through council. I mean, it shouldn't be done arbitrarily, and you shouldn't set criteria for a discount and have somebody strive to get there. It should always be done through council like the university has done. It was passed by council, and it's always been in effect. And that's the way it probably should be done. We shouldn't be setting criteria. They should come to the council and prove their worth in that ordinance. And it'd be a legislative act, not an administrative act.
Previously, you said that you could establish criteria, though.
Pardon?
Previously, you said you could establish criteria.
I can establish any criteria, Bill. I mean, I could take the universities and say they got this much land, they got this much pipe, they get this much, you get this much rebate.
So you're just
backing in what the university has into an ordinance, and that's not really what you're all after, I don't think.
No.
But that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we don't want a flood of applications coming in
right.
for that. We
really?
Someone needs to put forth their best effort. I mean, a huge.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had the system in place, and when
I don't want to maintain the university system. I don't. You know, they take care of a lot of stormwater pipes that's underneath our streets. I don't want to take care of that. They're doing it, and they're paying for that. They're maintaining it. So, I mean, that's how you get to the criteria. We would probably take what the university has back into it because the council did approve that ordinance. And we'd back in a criteria to make sure that that happened.
It's more than the ordinance. I think the ordinance created the opportunity.
Yep.
The university and the city negotiated a contract, which then went forth
right.
to the council for a full approval. So it's a evergreen contract. Either party can end that agreement
mm-hmm.
with a one-year notice. But it went before the council for approval.
Right.
So does
it's a legislative act.
John, does the existing ordinance provide for someone other than
anybody can come to council and ask for this? Anybody? No, there's nothing that says they can't. And that's what the university did.
And the burden of proof would be on that.
Pardon?
The burden of proof would be on that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
But the ordinance has that in place right now and hasn't changed.
Right.
Of course, I guess to advocate what Bill was saying, he was looking for some objective criteria for the council to weigh any applications to them. But I'm fine with the system. I don't really see a need for it to anything to change there. I think it's working well. And
I didn't see where the existing ordinance mentioned a discount.
Pardon?
I didn't see where the existing ordinance mentioned a discount.
Anybody can come to council.
No, I mean, this is from our ordinance.
There's an piece of the ordinance that we had a discount if you did certain criteria. If you had detention on your, you did detention, we used to have an ordinance in there. I don't know if it's still there. I don't recall if it's still in it.
I looked it up. It's a single, so I don't have it called up real quick, but it's a single statement. It basically says you can seek to the director or the utility for a discount. And
a reduction
didn't give specific criteria on how that was established, but that if you had what you believe, the way I interpret it is if you had reason to demonstrate that you're doing in good faith a reduction of stormwater or maintaining the system, that the city would have to.
And to my knowledge, we've never used it.
Would you send me that?
I could look it up, and I'll send it to the whole group. I mean, it's the city's ordinance that was established. If you can look it up on their city ordinances.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to leave that off as a recommendation. And also, there's runoff requirements on when you get your construction permitting, right? So I would hate to get some confusion between those two things. And then every time you get someone reads their construction permit, they go, my runoff controls will give me a discount on my stormwater. We don't want to go there.
Mm-mm. Well, I think when this whole system was established, the stormwater, there wasn't stormwater design criteria and ordinances on how to build your system. Well, now that's been added later. So in my mind, if you wanted to get a discount beyond today's expected standards, you have to go above and beyond the new ones, which would probably be full collection and reuse, where you're not discharging at all versus detention.
Right.
Or and I'm just thinking out loud here, but a subdivision that would maintain their own sewer system and did all the maintenance they could possibly seek a reduction if they went through the council request.
Jen, has your building?
Once it's full. So today it's full and all the rain that we have today. The capacity of a collection basin or tank. We got the same amount of rain every day spread out over the last 6 months. That would be a little different. But we'll have 3 months where we have no water in the tank, and today the tank is really full. So
bubbling over.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so what I'm sensing here is that I have a consideration where that I'm not in full agreement as to moving that ahead as a recommendation. I make a motion that it not be a recommendation. Do I have a second?
I second.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion with aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Okay. So to summarize what we've been through here with Bill, the first one, Cody, is a placeholder. Bill will revise number two, get that to you. Kim will revise number three. Amended, work with Bill, get that to you. Number four, as is. All right, then to go back to revisit what I had in some previous recommendations, I would still like to see is that the stormwater utility seek the advice of the city's financial advisor and the bond council to explore the option to issue special obligation bonds for stormwater capital improvements. And it's on the basis that special obligation bonds have been used before for city improvements, and this would just offer an option of whether that would be pursued or not to finance capital improvements for the stormwater facility. Other discussion of that?
I agree with that recommendation.
Can you say it again, if you don't mind?
Pardon?
Can you say, read it one more time, do you mind? Show me which document you're reading off of. Thank you.
Chris,
I'll restate this and send it to everybody. And then the next one is also has to do with finance, and this gets back to the notion of, the way I understand it, in the existing statutes, there's no authority for the city to issue a stormwater revenue bond, and that each city in the state of Missouri, any municipality that has a stormwater utility, is hamstrung by this by not having this provision in the state statutes, and that it would seem that it would have merit that the city take the initiative to work with the finance director or the city manager, the city attorney, the bond council, city bond council, and more so also Missouri Municipal League, to approach our state legislatures, tours, to enact state laws that would allow for the issuance of stormwater revenue bonds.
Nancy seemed to, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
Oh, it's okay.
what do we think about?
Oh, I am.
What do we think about what Nancy said about there being the authority under combined sanitary and stormwater? Yeah. They do allow for combined utilities.
After 250.
I don't know any of the specifics. That was just her thinking, like, caveated before she started talking. It was not necessarily the city's definite opinion, but it seemed like she thought you could make it work without having to go through that.
Could you conceive of putting the two together? But is it really our place to recommend specific bonding or financing, other than we're looking for long-term financing to catch up with a deferred maintenance list? So really the recommendation would be kind of combined for the city to seek the best appropriate long-term or bonding financing system to catch up with their backlog. And if they can swing a combined revenue with the sanitary sewer, or they go through a general bond request, they can find the best mechanism to achieve that.
All right. So no one is opposed to that. I will write that and send it out and give.
I do like the idea that at some point in time the municipal utilities or all the cities out there have the same issue, and if the state's withholding that, or you know, really a lot of people are collecting stormwater as a utility, not a tax. So you should be able to get a revenue bond on any utility to do capital.
Right. I think it only makes sense. All right. John, is there on the cost of service study in the stormwater utility, does that have an increment of do we do it every 3 years, 5 years, or?
First one we did was 2010, and we've updated, I think, once. So my goal would be to do it every 5 years at least, to look at things and see what other communities or what other utilities are doing, kind of like we do every other utility. We try to update that about every 5 years. And so I think that would be a good recommendation that we continue.
All right, so that would be, what he'd be saying there, that with the recommendation that we'd do, the council would have a cost of service study to be updated at least every 5 years. Okay. My last one would be, is there any further discussion of a NID, a neighborhood improvement district, as an offer to
I haven't fully been figured out how it would be feasible, but theory, I like it.
I guess I would see it. It'd be pretty isolated. You'd have to have a really good set of conditions where it would work out. But I do know that NIDs are used in sewer all the time, pockets of sewer to improvement district, and they do the project on their own. And
that would more be a private project that would then be asked to be turned over to the city for maintenance. Is that
right? But the city, the council has to approve the approve the NID creation.
Does the ordinance today allow that?
Stormwater.
For stormwater.
Who would initiate this?
A neighborhood.
And
area neighborhood.
And they would benefit because the work got done?
Yes.
They're paying for
right.
it?
It's
but
a way to expedite it.
They're paying for something that the city would normally pay for. It just wouldn't.
Well,
it would be done.
I think
timely.
You can do a CID in the city.
CID.
That's what it's got to be, is a CID, because you're imposing some type of tax on it, right?
Yeah, the tax. So you impose a tax to pay the bonds, and they'd be CID bonds, or. But it would. It's only an avenue of, again, a special situation where they wanted, you know, if they were in. Weren't going to get to them in 10 years. That way they could move ahead and get
I mean, that's the business loop thing that's going on, has been going on for a while. That's a CID, right? Initiated by the business owners in that area. Am I wrong?
I believe so.
A portion of them.
So it would be similar to that. It's just a group of people that are wanting.
Be no different other than a residential neighborhood coming together. Everybody pays their fair share to improve the system and improve their property value, but then the city would have to take it over for maintenance once it's finished.
It would be like if Agin was tired of waiting for their flooding issues to get solved, and they managed to rally all the neighbors and got this organized and then agreed to pay it back and all of that. That couldn't happen now for stormwater, we're saying?
Oh, I think it can. That's why I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know what you call it, a far out option, but it's.
And how would you see that working? What would it have to be, a unanimous vote, or if 80%, then the 20% that are opposed still have to pay their fair share?
Sure, have the majority rules there. It's have to do that to create the CID or NID, and they have to do that to vote the bonds.
I don't see a residential development actually doing it, but I do see commercial development that already do it. And
right.
They may not be doing it just to improve stormwater issues, but while they're doing it, they're improving sidewalks and streets and stormwater and everything else to help improve their businesses. So, but you could see a private development or like a residential neighborhood doing it just to improve property value.
All right. Let's see. So do we want to pursue that any further?
I'm just still not clear on who we're recommending what to whom.
Okay, the authority exists. It's just bringing the authority to a light that, or highlighted that it's out there. If somebody wants to use it, then they can pursue and use it. I don't know that anybody's really thinking about a CID for stormwater. It's just
it's an avenue for action.
Yeah, avenue for action. And
recommend
and so,
city facilitation or education to neighborhoods like Agin Street to work together just and help facilitate the process, maybe, I guess is what.
Yeah.
That just seems like it would present badly if, depending on who was saying it, that residents would be like, you're kidding me, I pay for this service, now you're wanting me to pay more for this service? It just seems unsavory.
They'd have to buy into the solving of the problem.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think it would be great. I could see me and two neighbors being on board with that when you really need 2,000 or 200
that's
or however many.
With stormwater issues, you know, you have all the people that's impervious area contribute to the problem, but they don't actually have the problem.
They're not the ones suffering the consequences, yeah.
Well, I'm not bound by this by any way. Just something that came across.
It would be interesting if you could get it into the newspaper.
It's already in place. Do we really need to recommend it again? I mean, it's a vehicle used by commercial development. Somebody surely could do it on a residential if they chose to.
I didn't.
I could see the political ramifications of telling people they, you know, you have to pay more to get it fixed. So.
Yeah, we're not going to do this for you anymore. How about you just do it?
Raise the money and do it.
Okay, so that clears out what I had. Are there any others? The only other one that I know of is Katrina, that you had shown an interest as to pursuing raising the rates or having raising the rate recommendation, and you wanted some assistance.
I didn't write anything. I didn't have time, but it just seemed to me like the obvious answer if we needed to raise revenue. I didn't know what everybody else thought about that.
I originally thought that that could be done in combination with a bonding request. I mean, if we put together a bonding, or the city puts together a bonding request to catch up with capital, they may need to relook at their income stream, and at that point in time, may need to increase rate to help cover some of that debt. So it could be combined in the bonding just to raise the rate to get more revenue and without a plan to capture up. You know, basically, the deferred maintenance is not getting us anywhere.
I would like to see that.
You'd have to have that.
You'd have to have something where that you could, maybe just recommend that to catch up with the deferred work, bonding in combination with a voter approved rate increase.
I would like to see it have its own recommendation, though, and certainly not tied together on a vote.
Is there a way to have an equivalence of I don't know if they're tiered. It'd be like this. Can it be stated into an equivalence where that $1 per month generates X amount of dollars, so that if $1 per month per user equates to $200,000 a year, see that wanted to, you know, in order to get $1 million, you're going to have to raise it $5.
We already know the rate, the monthly rate's not adequate, right?
When was the last rate study? It was done 2 years ago, is that correct? Last rate study for your stormwater?
Last year.
So we just recommended that it be done in 5. So we're looking at 4 years out. I think you'd tie that study income combination with any rate increase at that point in time. I think it'd be hard-pressed to take a rate increase without doing an evaluation first, unless you've got a specific project you want to combine with a bonding to take care of some backlog, and then you might include rate with that. Otherwise, just to increase the rate, it would have to be tied with the rate evaluation. You know, as a voter, I don't think I would just approve a straight rate increase without knowing where the money's going. But if I knew I was going to vote for a specific project to get done and correct some of these deficiencies, I think I'd be more inclined to approve that. So,
I think you would want to recommend both the bond and subsequent rate increase to fund the bond debt and rate increase just from the rate study in 4 years?
Yeah, I think the city should relook at their rates every 5 years like we recommended, and if we're deficient or behind, then we would take a vote to the public for increasing their rates. That could be done independently of the bonding request to catch us up. That's how you write it. We still need maybe a separate line item, and maybe that's tied with the recommendation to do the rate study and to reevaluate and potentially take a vote request to increase rates at that time, which will be at least every 5 years minimum.
I think that's a good recommendation from our point of view of trying to solve the problem. We need more money. Let city council evaluate the political, you know, will of the people to actually implement, vote for it. But I like the recommendation because it seems like, from all I could tell, we do have an issue with stormwater, and it is only going to get worse. I mean, we did just increase the rates, but it still seemed like the diverging graph that Chris always talks about. As time goes by, the gap is just going to get worse as far as the funding.
Help you, Katrina. So, in summary, there, then you will move on.
Well, to me, it seems like there are amendments to the.
That one.
Suggestions you already had. If I'm not mistaken, is that correct? So I'll just
I would recommend amending it to the statement about doing the rate assessment every 5 years. Mm-hmm. That they assess rate. Now, it doesn't mean that they could do it earlier, but we did say that at a minimum it should be done every 5 years. It could be done more frequently if necessary, but every 5 years the rate should be looked at, and if necessary, a rate increase be requested.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, so I'm not seeing any other recommendations.
Is there any interest in reviewing the integrated draft of development code that was released recently? Particularly the floodplain overlay section and the stormwater management section? There are pretty significant changes in
there. I think there would be some value. Are we at risk of becoming too bogged down, you know? Definitely think it needs to be looked at.
Question.
I'm not sure. I'm kind of fine to want to move to the next subject so we can cover some ground, but I know the development code is under review right now for a limited amount of time. That would be the time to look at it if we wanted to.
Wouldn't the development code go to public review anyway?
It is in public review right now.
So I don't know that we would bring a little more value if it's already in public review.
I know myself I'm going to review it and comment on it based upon what I see there, Bill.
Floodplain overlay restrictions, it seems pretty significant.
Did you notice some changes? I haven't read through it yet. Have they changed that?
Yes. Okay. They had some maps, and I don't have the maps. Areas that are in floodplain. I was interested in if any of those were.
Real savvy on all the details, but isn't this somewhat being driven by changes in regulation and changing in the floodplain? I mean, so we may not be able to make much change if it's regulatory driven.
Let's see, is it a matter that code revision will have closure before this task force has closure? And it seems that it would, and therefore, I think Bill's got a good point that we probably ought to review that individually and approach any comments through that process underway now.
They know what the timetable is for the public comment period?
It's over December in
first week in December or something like that. Public comments up. And they'll take it to Planning and Zoning Commission, which it
I guess if council wanted us to review it, they could ask.
I was looking at our charge and seeing if how it would fit in. I mean, I guess it is part of the operation and maintenance and review of past, current, and future priorities and funding mechanisms. And I mean, how it could fit into that. But
two sections, floodplain overlay and stormwater management, that I think would be applicable to what we're doing. Just a thought.
When's our next meeting?
It is December the 8th.
I think public comments up before that or right around there. So I don't think we would have any uniform common recommendations or thoughts on that at the
plus the Planning and Zoning Commission would just seek our opinion about it. It would not within public comment.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
Can this could be sent, the document sent out to all of us or sent the link? Did anybody share that?
Send it to those two sections to everybody.
Okay. I've got the link. I can.
Okay. I'm sure I've got it in my inbox. I'll find it.
Maybe other sections that pertain to us, what we're doing, but those two sections definitely pertain to what we're doing.
Okay, so are there any further recommendations? If not, then we will go to public comment. Not seeing any public comment or hearing any. I would like to take just a minute. What I'm recalling from the last meeting is that the city attorney owes us some answers. And I'd like to take a minute to go through the minutes to see if that's true.
Last time's minutes. I'm in the end of paragraph 2C.
2C?
Page 4. Kaufman asked legal staff about quarterly billing. Ask about impact on revenue if billing quarterly. I think a lot of these she answered to the best of her ability or knowledge, but we were waiting on some.
The only thing I thought was, and I don't, was the whether or not the revenue bond required a vote, but then I thought when we talked about it further, we that the sewer, the combination system allowed for that. It would still have to be voted on.
That's in 2B.
I never received the information I requested about halfway down the first paragraph on the second page. Information on how retirement facilities are billed for stormwater. That was a question I clarified in the minutes. First paragraph on the second page, about halfway down.
Third page,
I'm sorry.
Okay, so what we're seeing is that we have the verbal responses we got from the city attorney is satisfactory.
I followed up on the last sentence of paragraph, third page, section D. Ms. Thompson noted the landlords are ultimately responsible for any unpaid bills. That may be what the ordinance says, but they're not being charged for any unpaid bills. According to Mrs. Thompson, they are responsible, but they're not being billed.
Yeah, well, that's one of our recommendations then. Maybe to address that.
Okay, so Bill, you still need an answer to your question, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
I followed up with an email to Carol today clarifying it. You can have his email.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, so does anyone have any questions as to what they need to do between now and December the 8th? And then Cody be kind enough to provide us a draft?
Yeah, sure. Once I get the recommendations, I will put them together in one document and send it out. I'll send out the document I just handed everybody out.
Yeah.
Can we set or not tonight necessarily, but over email certainly start scheduling additional meetings since the 8th is our last one that we have scheduled?
We said they would be after the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Do that or the 8th. We plan to schedule several meetings out.
Okay. Yeah, if we could add that to the minutes for or the agenda for the 8th, that'd be... Yeah.
Is there any provision to ask the city to provide a staff person to assist with some of this compiling of information, work with the chair to do what we're doing?
You know, I guess early on, I thought that was Carol Schaefer's.
She is. Mm-hmm.
Maybe she can find them, but it's not that big of a deal for me to put it in one document.
I think it'd probably be valuable. She doesn't have all the detailed discussion and know what the language would change, but at least she can review, edit, you know, to make sure it's written correctly, looking for errors, get it in the right format, consistent.
Format would be the...
So that's what I would recommend that her responsibility should be. Clean it up and put it to form.
Just a follow-up,
we're good with that, as far as I know. Yep. Are there any other considerations for our meeting?
What are we going to talk about at the next meeting? What is our topic? If we're closing the page or turning the page on stormwater till the very end, what is our next topic? Are we going to discuss any issues related to roads from our last presentation?
I remember there was the development fee question.
submitted a number of questions, information, and you haven't received anything.
Utility after roads, after transportation.
Pardon?
What's the next utility after transportation?
I'd say we ought to go for sewer.
Do we know? Is it sewer? Does our the city staff is aware, so we they're ready to?
Yeah.
Getting ready?
We're just meeting once in December, is that right?
Mm-hmm. I think the one in December should be discussion, our first discussion on station and streets and what recommendations we could possibly have or what additional information we need.
Including the information we've already requested.
Yes.
And that would place the very first meeting we have in January would be sanitary sewer to do presentation?
Yeah, I think so.
Get too far ahead there.
Got to think ahead. Got to be thinking.
All right. There, everyone, where we're going? If so, this meeting is adjourned.